Saints fans, Pelicans fans, let's go. This is the Black and Blue Report. Black.
Reeves going to go deep. He's got Graham. Touchdown.
Blue.
Down the lane. Shoots. No. Tip follow in for Davis. With 3/10 of a second left.
Welcome into the podcast for the fans. Straight from the teams they love.
It's good to see you guys. Yeah. And I didn't know we had Studio B here in our facility. Good setup.
Now that I know where your guys' little office is, I can pop in here whenever I want.
Well, we're playing through AD. And so everybody's going to have to adjust to that.
Coaches, players, analysts, celebrities, and more.
That guy's Anthony Mackie.
I've gotten in many of arguments about the Pelicans and the Saints over the years.
Harry Connick Jr. joins us here on the Black and Blue Report.
Undoubtedly, to me, the Saints are the singular reason that New Orleans is back on the map.
Hoda Kotb from the Today Show on NBC, our guest.
You know, New Orleans gets in your blood. The Saints never leave it once they get in there.
This is the Black and Blue Report, straight from the source. No appointment radio, wherever, whenever. Now, from Studio B, or from wherever the Saints or Pelicans might be, here's Sean Kelly.
How goes it? We're back at you here. It's a Monday edition of the Black and Blue Report, the podcast for Saints and Pelicans fans, and a new week begins for our podcast, but we're well into the week now for the New Orleans Saints here at the Greenbrier in West Virginia. Hi again, everybody. With John DeShazer, I'm Sean Kelly. A cold and wet day here at the Greenbrier. We knew rain would be in the forecast. It drizzled a little bit at the start of practice, and then, well, we spent most of practice today, John, in the rain today here at White Sulphur Springs.
Yeah, far and away the most inclement weather we've had here in terms of rain and cold together, not driving rain or anything that would postpone practice or drive you off the practice field, but just enough to be a nuisance, as we found out a little bit later. But yeah, a little bit cold, a little bit dank, a little bit damp, and you know, something that this team is actually looking forward to practicing in again, hopefully tomorrow, so they can get a little bit more accustomed to it.
Coach Payton didn't seem to have too many flattering things to say about the way the workout went today.
Yeah, he was pretty angry about it, actually. A lot of balls on the ground. Center quarterback exchange did not go smoothly today, and he was not pleased with it. And he was saying, look, you know, it's not weather, because you're going to have to learn how to play in this kind of weather. And he's absolutely correct. Every game is not going to be in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome or in somebody else's dome or the Georgia Dome or anything like that. Some will be played in inclement weather, whether it's rain or cold, and you have to learn to deal with the elements. And he did not like the way his team dealt with the elements today.
If there is one advantage to a day like this, it's getting to work, like you said, in those elements. He said, you know, there's days back home where the sun's shining, and yet we've tried to have a wet ball day, which I've seen him do, dunking balls in the water and everything else. He said it never really is the same, though.
No, it can't be the same. I mean, you know, when everything's wet and sloppy and those kinds of things, it's just a totally different drill. So, yeah, he's absolutely right. You get out here and you go through it, and, you know, unfortunately for his team, they didn't seem to handle it particularly well today, or at least he wasn't pleased with the way they handled it. And Luke McCown, the quarterback, was actually saying, hey, hopefully we'll get another one tomorrow so we can be improved in it.
We're well into their week now. Coach described yesterday as a day of weights and film review in the morning. They did practice yesterday afternoon, but while this is our first show since the preseason game on Friday night, the Saints have really moved past that, it seems, and are now getting ready for this Friday against Tennessee.
Yeah, absolutely. Getting to some real install. We saw a little live ball, short yardage drill today where guys were not taking the running backs to the ground, tackling. And so that was a little something new. And, yeah, looks like they're getting ready for the Titans here.
All right, so as the schedule holds right now, the schedule is at 3:30 Central Time. The Saints will have their afternoon walkthrough on the artificial surface down the hill from us. We'll see if that changes. And, of course, we'll have any updates that you might need on NewOrleansSaints.com or your Saints mobile app. Good show for you today, though. We're going to check in with John Stinchcomb. He was providing the color analysis on the television broadcast this past Friday night. He'll help us break down the game against the Rams. And then we'll hear from two guys that played a prominent role in the game, Tim Lolito on the offensive line and Tyrone Walker, whom many have said turned a few heads with the way that he's played in camp and on Friday night against the Rams. So a good show for you here on this Monday. Stay with us, and we'll continue from West Virginia in just a moment. Gatorade knows every victory starts from within. It's the determination to come up big when it matters most. But no athlete does it alone. They need training and fuel to perform. That's how greatness comes from within. Win from within.
Lotto is all across Louisiana, with cash jackpots starting at $250,000. That's a whole lot of cash. From the neon lights of Shreveport-Bossier City to the banks of Grand Isle, Lotto is your game. It doesn't leave the state, and there's nothing like it anywhere else. It's Louisiana fun just for Louisiana. Lotto, it's a whole lot of cash. Must be at least 21 to purchase.
Gatorade knows every victory starts from within. It's the determination to come up big when it matters most. But no athlete does it alone. They need training and fuel to perform. That's how greatness comes from within. Win from within. Welcome back to the Black and Blue Report. Our coverage continues from the Greenbrier in West Virginia. The Saints practicing this morning, trying to dodge the raindrops and trying to put some things into place here before preseason game number two. Of course, the first preseason game is in the books this past Friday against the St. Louis Rams. And we're pleased to bring back Jonathan Stinchcomb to the Black and Blue Report. And he's the color analyst for the Saints preseason telecast on Cox Sports Television. All right, Stinch, what'd you think in your first look on Friday night?
I saw a lot of different things to be encouraged about. I thought, obviously, the running game started where you wanted it to, picked up a lot from last year in those last few games. You got to be encouraged by Mark Ingram and what he showed. Just the hunger, patience, and tenacity that he ran with was really encouraging. I think that will help a lot. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, I think their run defense was pretty stellar for a first game. And really across the board, a lot to be encouraged about. But they also gave plenty of different coaching opportunities to improve. So with the penalties and some of the small errors, that's to be expected in game one, but it also gives the coaches a lot to build from and teach this week in preparation for preseason game number two.
Whether it be the play of the quarterbacks or how the offense was run, you know, obviously the noticeable absence was Drew Brees. How do you think the Saints managed under Luke McCown and Ryan Griffin?
I think it was a success there, too. Obviously, when season starts, who do you want behind the center? You know, it would be a step back if you had any of the other, aside from maybe two or three quarterbacks out there, you're going to have a step back if it's not Drew Brees. So, with that said, I think McCown and Griffin both did a great job of playing in the system that was given them, executing the plays. I thought the pocket awareness of Ryan Griffin was stellar for a guy who's had minimal experience in the NFL. And you can tell that the hours spent in the film room and just in the presence of the veterans and Brees and McCown had paid off in his preparation for this year. So with both of those quarterbacks, I thought they did a great job.
Former Saints lineman John Stinchcomb with us here on the Black and Blue Report. Hey, John, let's talk about that offensive line, the guys that did protect McCown and Griffin. You know, we only saw, what, the tackles, maybe one or two series, and then this rotation at guard and center right now is interesting. Some of that has to do with injury and some of that has to do with some guys trying some new things out. What did you take away from their performance?
Well, let's start with the tackles. I think Streif's coming off one of the best years that he's had in his career. And comparing him to the rest of the league, of what I saw, he probably played at the top three tackles, especially right tackles, from an overall performance last year. Then go to the left side with Teron. It's amazing to me. Obviously, from the day he got in, everyone knew how athletically gifted he was. I mean, he ran one of the fastest 40 times for any tackles in combine history. So you have to expect him to be athletic. But for him to play at the level that he's playing, you know, granted, how many snaps has he had this year? Two series worth in a preseason game. With that said, his technique was much better. You could tell that he's not just this raw athlete from a small school, Arkansas Pine Bluff. He's now a guy that is really picking up some of the nuances of the game and the position. So tackles, you got to be really encouraged. For the first game, you don't have either Pro Bowl guard. So with Grubbs and Jari Evans out, it gave an opportunity for some of these younger guys, some of the other guys, to come in there and step up. And they're obviously getting a lot more reps, not only in the game, but also in practice. So I think that will only benefit the Saints as they move forward. And then the battle at center with Jonathan Goodwin and Tim Lolito. I think Tim Lolito, it's not a matter of if he's going to be a starter. It's just a matter of when and where. Which is a luxury a lot of teams don't have, and that you have got a proven veteran in Jonathan Goodwin, a guy that's great for your team, knows the system well, despite the fact that he's coming from San Francisco. Obviously, he has played at a really high level, being named to Pro Bowls and helped lead our offense to a Super Bowl. And at the center position, boy, they make a lot of calls, a lot of different changes at the line, so it's going to help Lolito just to have Goody right there with him to share some of that veteran knowledge that he's earned. But is the future Tim Lolito? Absolutely. It's just a matter of when and what time and where he plugs in. And as I was talking to Goody before the game on Friday, he was telling me how he's just been reinvigorated, coming back to the Saints, and feels great. So that's encouraging for an offensive lineman that's 35 years old to still feel a lot of juice in his legs. Long answer, Sean, but you gave me a lot to get through, and obviously I'm pretty passionate about the offensive line.
Yeah, I knew I'd throw one right in your wheelhouse there, but that was what I wanted to hear. Hey, I remember when we were working together last year, Kyrie Robinson was one of those guys where we kind of all said, who is this guy? Look what he's doing here in the preseason. And obviously that translated, later on in the regular season. And I know it was only one preseason game, John, but did anybody start to jump out at you a little bit on Friday night in St. Louis?
You know who I was encouraged about is Tyron Walker. Obviously D lineman who played last year. And to be quite frank with you, he did a lot of things not only in preseason but during season that I thought could help this football team. And he continued that on Friday night. So for a defensive tackle that doesn't get a lot of recognition, I thought he played at a really high level. With running backs, boy, they can jump out pretty quick. So Kyrie last year, just his running style is eye-catching. And it's a little bit harder at times to evaluate some other positions. But if I had to go with one guy who continues to impress and isn't well heralded yet at this point, it would be Walker.
Brandon Cooks did some nice things on Friday. That he continued what I guess is a pretty remarkable start to training camp. I don't want to sit here and try and punch holes in a rookie's game, but if you were to look at Cooks, what would be your honest evaluation of the way he played on Friday? And did you see some things that obviously they'll go after him on the videotape with?
Well, it jumps out, not having been able to really review just his play. His playmaking ability is something that easily you see. With that touchdown reception, just his awareness in space is pretty instinctual. It's not like you can coach something like that, but his process is going to be a matter of gaining knowledge of the nuances of the system that he's in. This early in camp, my expectation is they probably haven't even gone through the entire playbook yet in camp, which would include goal line and various things. But you'd continue to add and build on the foundation of plays that they're taught. And there's a number of changes that occur not only through the season, but during a game and individual plays. So he's got a lot of work to do, and it's mostly in the classroom of trying to figure out just the cadence and rhythm of the game and when to expect various changes that come not only from the quarterback, but just from defensive alignments and some of the different checks and changes that you make in a given play. So that's going to come from experience, and some of the good players are trying to gain that not only on the field and in reps, but also watching film and learning from the guys that have been there and done that.
Good observation there. John Stinchcomb with us here on the show today. Hey, John, before I let you go, I know that every camp and every preseason has, you know, a uniqueness to it, but is there a common theme? Is there a common something about preseason game number two as the Saints get ready for the Titans this Friday?
Yes. The progression of it is, you know, game one, it's your first experience against a different team, especially for the new guy. For some of the veterans, you want to make sure that you're knocking rust off as you go. And there's still that comfort. And Coach Payton will say it in meetings that he doesn't need to see it all the time. He just needs to see it. So for some of these veterans, they just have to prove that they still get it and they've got it from an athletic ability and they're dialed in mentally. You progress into game two and it ratchets up a little bit. It's more of let's not see the same mistakes repeated. You're going to see different looks, introduce new plays. So how do you execute, and can we eliminate the mistakes that we saw in game one to game two? That's probably the biggest thing across the board, veteran, new guy. If you've made mistakes in training camp, if you've made mistakes in game one, are you coachable? Can you learn? Can you carry that over and not repeat those same things going into game two? So the execution's got to be at a much higher level, and really – game two is pretty pivotal for a lot of guys as to whether they can move on and progress and they have potential to learn and improve as a player and help this football team, or are they limited in what they can offer and they're not at a point where they can improve to a point to help the team. So it's going to be a big game for a lot of guys.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to being back home. Mercedes-Benz Superdome on Friday at 7 against the Tennessee Titans. John Stinchcomb, have a great week, and look forward to seeing you, working with you again on Friday night.
Sean, I can't wait. Good to be in the booth with you, brother.
Yep, yes, sir. We'll have it for you on Cox Sports Television from the Superdome on Friday at 7, as we mentioned. Hey, stay with us now. Tim Lolito and Tyron Walker still to come on today's Black and Blue Report. Back in a moment.
Everything you need to know about your New Orleans Pelicans is right in the palm of your hands. The New Orleans Pelicans app is easy to use, plus makes an excellent companion whether you're watching the team in the Smoothie King Center or on the road. Recently added features on the app include the latest videos and highlights, plus access to a full list of arena amenities. Download the Pelicans app for free now on your iPhone or Android devices. For more information, check out pelicans.com today.
Smoothie King asks, what's your purpose?
My name is Trish, and I want more balance in my life. I feel like all I do is rush from one place to the next and end up grabbing a burger along the way. And then I feel guilty, and I start thinking I need to spend an hour on the elliptical, but I don't have time. I want to eat better. I want to feel better. That's my purpose.
We can blend that. Find your balance with the new Greek yogurt smoothies naturally powered by Chobani. Find pleasure in your purpose at Smoothie King.
Welcome back to the Black and Blue Report. Well, we heard from a former Saints offensive lineman and John Stinchcomb a moment ago. How about a current one and one who's playing multiple roles right now for the Saints? That's Tim Lolito, who we spoke to yesterday here at training camp. Back to work today, but work started what? With video this morning, right? How was that? How did that go?
It was all right. There's a lot of stuff that still need to clean up on offense, and I don't know about the defense. We didn't look at their stuff, but on offense, there's still a lot of stuff we can get better at.
What's the difference between the way you think about a game on the way home on the charter and as opposed to what you'd find in the film room a day or two later?
It's always that 24 hours. If it was a good game, if it was a bad game, just let myself, like Coach Payton says, 24 hours to either feel good about it, feel bad about it, whatever, and then come in 24 hours later and go to work.
The value right now for some of you guys with, I guess you're, and I'm just being fair here, it seems shorthanded up on the front, so more reps for you and others right now.
Yeah, a lot more reps. you know, I don't know who's down right now, but there's a couple guys down, and like you said, there's a lot more reps getting in. You know, I'm not only going at center now. There's a couple spots where I was at guard a few days ago. Yeah. So,
you know, but it was interesting. You had to look to your left and your right, and okay, there's Senio, and hold on, there's Marcel. That, you know, that's not Ben Grubbs, or that's, you know, yep. In that sense, as far as playing as a group. Did it go as well, or was it a little rough on Friday?
No, those guys were playing their asses off. I mean, they're doing one hell of a job out there. I mean, I didn't, you know, it doesn't really matter who's next to me. I mean, it does, but it doesn't at the same time. We're going to try and go out there and work as a unit, you know. So if we're not out there all on the same page, then nothing's going to work. So we just have to go out there and be one whole unit.
Are you still more comfortable at guard, or has center now become maybe as easy, not easy, but as comfortable as when you were playing guard as you are now at center?
Yeah, center's really comfortable. I like it. Guy's right there, so, you know, it's not a big deal to me anymore.
But if you were to try and put your finger on what you're better at now here today on this Sunday as opposed to the start of training camp, or even go back to mini camp at that position, what's been a big jump for you?
I think just getting up there and, like I said before, identifying fronts, mm-hmm. getting everyone on the same page where we're going. You know, just in the game, we were up there talking about, you know, Luke and I was like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to run to the ball, get set, and I'm just going to call out a mic. And if you don't like it, then we're going to change it, like I'm passing plays, something like that, if you see something different. So I'm going to come up, look, initial, you know, scope everything over, and then call a guy out, and then if he doesn't like it, he'll switch it. So that type of stuff, you know, is a little bit different than at center than at guard. You don't get to do that at guard.
True, but when you're playing guard now, do you feel not smarter, but more in tune because you can see it from a center's eyes?
Yeah, it slows down a little bit more.
Okay. Is that something that you just had to get through experience, or did Goodwin talk to you about that, or was there some kind of a growth there that I'm not seeing?
I think a little bit of both. I mean, you know, he talked about that. I talk to John all the time about stuff like that. He said, "What the best thing you could do is just run up there and get set, because what it's going to do is it's going to make the defense get set, and then you just call out a guy. You know, if we're running an inside zone play, you know most likely it's going to be that guy, you know, over here or over there, but... You know, if something happens in the backfield that you're not really necessarily seeing, and that you got a guy in motion or something like that, then he's gonna reset the mic. So, but generally, it's pretty dead on what you see when you walk up there. So, just getting up and get set is the best way to get the front set for you. So it makes that a lot easier. And then, you know, just like I said, through experience. Just reps for me. Like you said, there's guys down right now, so been able to get more reps at things. So the more reps, the better.
Take a look down the pike, if you will, at this week. And based on what happened last week and another game on Friday, for you all as a group, would you like to see yourselves run block better, pass protect better? What would be a logical progression here into the second preseason game?
That's a tough one. I just think getting better whole as a unit. I think we were run blocking well. The backs were awesome. Pass protection was pretty good. I know we had a couple breakdowns, but I mean, when you got a backup QB that's throwing 16 for 23, I think that's pretty darn good. So he's able to stand back in the pocket and throw it around a little bit. But I think in general we need to get better as a whole. There's a lot of area of improvement in both the run and the pass game.
Tim, I always enjoy visiting with you. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Yep. Thanks.
All right, good stuff from Tim Lolito. When we come back, we'll switch sides of the ball and visit with the guy they call Clyde, Tyron Walker. We'll talk more about that in just a moment as we continue here from training camp.
At the Ochsner Hospital for Children, no matter where you turn, you're surrounded by bravery. Children and teens dealing with health problems beyond their years. Parents working hard to keep the worry from their face. Doctors and nurses doing everything possible to get them back home, where they belong. From rare brain tumors and leukemia to heart conditions and organ transplants, we offer a level of pediatric care unmatched in Louisiana. with more advanced capabilities than any other children's hospital in the region. Even our kids-only ER can handle any pediatric emergency. In fact, the only thing tougher than the problems we see every day are the kids themselves. Choose the Ochsner Hospital for Children and never wonder if you could have done more. Call 866-OCHSNER to find an affiliated pediatrician near you. Ochsner, healthcare with peace of mind.
Sean Kelly back here at the Greenbriars. We continue on the Black and Blue Report. I get a lot of questions from folks wondering who the sleeper is at training camp. And I don't think I have a great answer yet, but if there's a guy that's, I guess, on the list right now, and I'm not so sure if you look back to last year, he should be on a list of sleepers, but Tyrone Walker might fit that bill. He turned some heads again on Friday against the Rams. We'll see what kind of a week he has with us here as we prepare to come home and face the Titans. Yesterday, my first chance this camp to catch up with Tyrone Walker.
I'm curious as to what you thought about how the weekend went, whether it be your thoughts about the game or the video review that always goes along with that.
There's mistakes that need corrections that need to be made. I had some mistakes with feet work and stuff like that. I thought I made some good plays, but like I said, we're out here trying to get better. It's the purpose of training camp.
What was your comfort level like on Friday night?
I wouldn't say a comfort. I say it was eager to get out there and get against some guys other than my own teammates. So it was the first preseason game. I was eager to get out there and compete.
Were there things that you were able to do in the game Friday that were a direct translation to maybe things you were working on here in camp?
Yes, sir. I mean, my D-line coach, Bill Johnson, always talks about feet work. I focus on that. And you got to think, when you're going against some different guys, they don't know what you can do, or they haven't been around or been going against you every day. So, I mean, it kind of works out.
The thought about where we are in the preseason and you have that game under your belt now, does a game like that, the way you played on Friday, give you a little lift?
I wouldn't say it gave me a lift. It just showed me a couple of things that I'm capable of doing if I just focus on my feet work and stuff. And like I said, it's just the preseason. It doesn't count. I mean, it's good for film. It's good to get to go against some other guys, like I said. And, I mean, I was just happy to go out there and help my team.
How much does the film work and the review of the game impact the way you all practice this week?
Oh, a lot, because it shows you what you work on. It shows you what you need to work on and what you help you be successful. So, I mean, I saw some feet work issues in the tape, and I took away more negative than positive, and I'm out here trying to work on it each and every day.
We played an away game. We've been away at camp. We're going to finally go home this week. Has that thought crept into your mind a little bit about whether it be home or just even playing in front of Saints fans this weekend?
I mean, anytime you play in front of the Saints fans, especially, that's one of the best fan base in the league. And so, I mean, but it's been a nice setup out here. I love it. I mean, I'm sure the team loves it too, but it's always that comfort level of getting home.
All right, so I was talking to John Stinchcomb the other day, Zach Strief, Cam. Everybody was sharing nicknames, and the funny story is the Clyde thing. You like it or no?
Like I said, I came in as a rookie. Coach Bill Johnson gave me that name. It stuck. And, I mean, I accept it. It is what it is, you know what I mean? So if they say my name is either I'm doing something wrong or I'm doing something right. So, I mean, it's comfortable. I'm good with it.
You know, when they write names inside of pads or whatever, does it say Walker or does it say Clyde?
No, it say Walker. It say Walker.
If you had to think back, I'm sure at some point along the way you've had other nicknames too, whether it be from mom, dad, uncle, aunt, high school coach, whomever. There's got to be another one other than Clyde, right?
My mom called me Ty, short for Tyron, and some of my other friends, they try to mock the name and clown me and stuff like that. But it's all funny game.
When you think about the goals on the defensive side of the football, what was laid out, and how are you all doing along those lines here in the, I guess what we call now the third week?
Our goal is to be the number one defense in the league. And, I mean, we started out slow, but we're getting there, and we're making a little progress. But like I said, man, we got to keep our head down and keep pushing. And so we don't sit back and look at success, because that's when you start to slip. So we just keep our head down and keep pushing. And, I mean, at the end of the season, we'll tally it up and see what we got.
Keep it up. Here's to a good week.
All right, thank you.
All right, when we come back, John and I will wrap up this show on this Monday here on the Black and Blue Report.
In New Orleans, food is more than a passion, it's a tradition. And Zatarain's has been part of that tradition for 125 years. From jambalaya and dirty rice to crab boil and more, Zatarain's has been jazzing up dinner since before there was jazz. And we're excited about what next season might bring. Jazz it up tonight with Zatarain's, proud sponsor of the New Orleans Pelicans.
There's no better time to join your Pelicans as we take flight. All-star Anthony Davis is taking his team to the next level, and the Pelicans are soaring to new heights. 2014-15 season tickets are on sale now and start at less than $300, with lower bowl options as low as $37 per game. Season ticket benefits include the best seat locations, discounts on concessions, and much more. Take flight with the Pelicans. For more info, call 525-HOOP or visit pelicans.com today. Taking a break from Mayor Landrieu's pothole repair crew. Once again, here's Sean Kelly.
Sean and John back to wrap things up here on this Monday's edition of the Black and Blue Report. Don't forget, you can always get us free at iTunes or, of course, on your New Orleans Saints or NewOrleansSaints.com or Pelicans.com desktop. And this show is also available on your mobile device via the Pelicans app or the Saints app. John, let's put a wrap on today a little bit. We talked extensively about practice back in our first segment. Had nice visits today with Stinch, Lolito, and Walker. But as you kind of look ahead now, what comes to top of mind for you?
Well, just really cleaning up things, and that's in terms of, I think, intensity will be ramped up tomorrow. This afternoon is a walkthrough, so you know that's going to be low-key. But I think Coach Payton, you know, was perturbed by the handling of the ball today. And also, I think he mentioned he wanted to see some more intensity tomorrow. And I think we'll see a little bit more of an up-tempo and maybe a little bit more physicality tomorrow in practice and tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow we're back with you on this show. We've got a great one planned for you from West Virginia, including a fantastic visit with defensive back Corey White. So that's on the Tuesday edition of the Black and Blue Report. John, as they say, on every training camp, some rain must fall.
Yeah, a little bit of rain must fall in every life. Unfortunately, it's cold rain here in the middle of summer. I don't know what the temp is. Whatever it is, it feels like it's 50. And, so it's time to go home.
Indeed. Ongoing coverage at NewOrleansSaints.com. Thanks for spending a little time with us here. A little no-appointment radio for you on the Black and Blue Report. On Twitter, it's at John DeShazer and at Sean Kelly Live. And for all of us here, equipment staff, PR, coaches, players, everybody else in West Virginia, we miss you all. We'll be home soon. And we'll see you right back here tomorrow for another edition of the Black and Blue Report.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Black and Blue Report. If all goes well, we'll be back tomorrow. Tune in each weekday at 12 p.m. or at your convenience exclusively online at NewOrleansSaints.com and Pelicans.com. Follow your teams direct from the source, the Black and Blue Report.